served at the Pentagon as an Army JAG. He graduated from Notre Dame and has two law degrees from Boston University and Georgetown University. He's been practicing law for over 30 years. He's your family's personal attorney. It's time for the David Carrier Show.
Hello and welcome to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. This is the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. So if you have a question, comment, or concern about wills, about trusts, about probate, how does that stuff work? If you're wondering, how do we beat the high cost of long-term care? Is long-term care just the nursing home? Is that our only alternative? If you're wondering about that, well, now's the time to call 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843, and we'll get your question, comment, or concern on the air. Of course, we also deal with real estate and business law. So if you're looking at buying or selling a home, and, you know, you have to say the market is just kind of going a little bit nuts. You know, over the last several years, we've been looking for the turnaround, looking for the turnaround. Well, maybe it's here. It seems like when it seems kind of counterintuitive, right? When the interest rates go down, you would expect, right, that people would be buying and selling. And now that the interest rates are going back up, that seems to be what's getting a lot of folks off the edge, you know, off the mark. And the problem with it, of course, is that you still have a lot of people kind of locked into their homes. And for the last several years, we haven't been building very many new homes. In fact, haven't been building hardly any at all. And so it's very difficult now. You know, when people finally start saying, jeepers, I guess I would like a house or a different house, the inventory is just not there. So that's, I'm not saying it's a seller's market exactly just yet, but it certainly is turning around. It certainly is. So if you have a question about any of that stuff, if you're running a business, wish you were running a business, wish to heck that you weren't running a business anymore, well, okay, give us a shout, 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843. Of course, today is Father's Day, which means today's the day that that we all say how wonderful dads are and then ignore them for the then we ignore them for the other 364 days out of the year. Well, I guess that's just the that's the way it goes, isn't it? Well, anyway, I'd like to give a shout out to my own dad, Lou Carrier, and my brothers Mark, John, Lewis, and Timothy, all good dads, all pulling the oar, everybody, you know, going down to the coal mine, going down, right? Just keeping it going. And to every other dad out there, you know, that I forget which comedian it was that said that, you know, you talk about your mom. Well, there's all these songs. Oh, my mother. Oh, my wonderful mother. Mother, mother, mother. On and on and on. And what's the daddy song, right? Papa was a Rolling Stone. So anyway, today's our day. So let's make the most of it. It's only 24 hours, and a bunch of them are gone already. So happy Father's Day to all the dads. And like I say, for you guys, no fee today. You can just you can listen for free. I have no problem with that at all. Okay, let's get to some of the emails. We've got a kind of a backlog here. First one has to do with the whole long-term care thing, and this is an example that that we talk about in the workshop, the situation here. And I should say, you can call the same number, 888-463-2843, if you'd like to come to one of our free life plan workshops. These are the workshops we do every single week, and the good Lord brings in twice on Sundays, well, twice on holidays. We just finished up a couple of them. And the and I have to remember, if you called before and we were saying, hey, you can't get in until July, we've added some more. We added some more workshops, so there's some more seats available now. So if you were, you know, kind of thinking, well, that's too long to wait, that's okay. Like I said, we've added a couple of new workshops, so give us another try. Get on over to the website, too, davidcarrierlaw.com, and you'll see the more recent workshop dates. We've added some, and you can sign up on the workshop. Could we make it any easier? I don't know. But if you think we could, then drop me an email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. That's david@davidcarrierlaw.com. Tell me how we could make it easier, and we'll do it, if we think it's a good idea. If you think coming to your house would make it easier, well, we're not going to do that. Sorry. But, you know, give us a reasonable suggestion. We'll, you know, I have to say this. Most of the good ideas, I don't know if it's most, certainly is an awful lot of the things we do, a lot of the ways we do things in the practice are the result of clients. You know, folks just saying, hey, what if you tried this? What if you tried that? I don't think this worked out particularly well. You know, for us, the whole, I will get to my emails, I promise you. But it just struck me how often it is that we do things because of family feedback, because of the families that we work with giving us feedback about, well, you know, I'd like this, I'd like that. That didn't work particularly well. One of the things we do every step along the way from the workshop through the whole process is ask for your feedback in writing at the end of the process. You know, we ask you to do a written evaluation. And it really does matter. You know, I have to say, and we ask people to take it seriously. We ask our families to take it seriously. And an awful lot of things that we do, you know, like assigned seating at the workshops. People were like, well, you know, we couldn't sit together. All right, now we do, you know, keep the family groups together. That was an idea that, you know, a client family came up with. Or, oh, just the way we, a lot of the things that we do. You know, the way the office is set up, people like this, they don't like that. It really matters. And if you think there's a way that we can, that we could do it better, that we could make it easier, I'm very sincere. I'm very sincere because it's worked. you know, about asking for your suggestions. And it, believe me, it'll make a, may make a difference. Maybe, I don't promise that we'll absolutely do it. Like I say, I think you should come to my house. Well, that would make it easier, but I think we're probably not going to do that one. Okie doke. Email question. I want to know if state can take the family home. This is a big deal these days because we got this whole estate recovery thing going on. The estate recovery has to do with how does the state get paid back, if at all, if you're in long-term care and you receive help. And when I say long-term care and receive help, I'm talking about Medicaid. That's how people pay for the nursing home. That's just it. And the estate recovery right now, in Michigan at least, is a probate-based process. In most other states, they'll slap a Medicaid mortgage on the house as soon as you apply for the Medicaid. You got to be thinking ahead about this stuff. If you're not, you know, there's still a lot of folks out there who have wills. Hard to believe that people are basing their estate plan on a will. You understand that wills equal probate, right? I mean, the only thing a will is instructions to the probate court. That's what it is. It isn't anything more than that. It isn't anything less than that. But, you know, as everyone says, it is what it is. Yeah, as if that's wisdom or something. I don't know. But a will is what it is. It's just instructions to the probate court. No more, no less. And so if you have a will, then you're going to probate. And if you're going to probate, now you're subjecting your assets to estate recovery. Are you with me on that? And this is one of the, you know, we did a thing on the top five mistakes lawyers make. And one of them is when people set up these trusts. And I'm a big fan of trusts. I like trusts. But then they don't fund them. They don't make sure the stuff is in there. Result, you go through probate. Result, there goes the family home. Okay? It's a big deal. If you received help with long-term care, which, as I say, as a practical matter, most folks, everybody, I always say everybody, but most folks do receive assistance with the long-term care, with the skilled nursing care. That means Medicaid. All right? That's the word, Medicaid. Ooh, Medicaid. And what that means is now they're going to come after your house if it goes through probate in Michigan. Most other states, like I said, they slap a lien on it right away. We don't have that yet, but it's coming. It's coming down the pike. So if you want to, now we're to the end of the first segment, but when we get back, we'll talk about some strategies for retaining the family home and exactly what's going on in this situation. You've been listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Give us a call, why don't you? 888-463-2843.
18 feet from the bow of the stern light. Second hand from a dealer in Atlanta. I rode up with Daddy.
Well, my he let his hat was his home. And when he died,
all he left us was alone.
Welcome back to the David Carrier Show, the place where you find only positive images about Dad. Papa was a rolling stone. This is the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, business law. Got a question about any of that stuff or anything else, because today is Father's Day, which means that fathers listen free. You can even turn on two radios and listen with both ears. How about that? We won't charge you anything extra. Give us a call, why don't you? 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843, and we'll get you right on board. Talking about the family home, what if, can we save the family home? That's our email here. I'll just read the rest of it for you because I know you're dying for that. I moved in 10 years ago to take care of my mom, who was placed a year ago, last year, long-term care in a nursing home, skilled nursing facility, I'm guessing. I'm disabled and was told by someone that the state will take the home. Is that true? I pay all expenses and upkeep of the house, her full retirement, and I add some goes to nursing home. I'm gonna throw in the commas there if you don't mind. The key here is that there's two possible ways that you get to keep the house. If we have a child who's disabled, and they've got to be found disabled, Social Security disabled, right? Then the parent can transfer the house to the child. Now, it's got to be a child, not a stepchild, not a godchild, not a child-in-law, a child-child. Got to be a child. Could be adopted. That's no problem. but it's got to be a child. A disabled child can receive the homestead. The other is, if a child, again, a child-child, it's got to be a child-child, not a, some other kind of relationship, it's got to be a child, can also receive the home if the child cares for the parent in such a way that keeps the parent out of long-term care for 2 years, 24 months. You don't need 10 months. Moved in 10 years ago, it says here, to take care of mom. Well, I don't know what level of care mom needed at that point, but if the doctor will certify that, her attending physician will certify that the care that you provided kept mom out of skilled nursing for 2 years, 24 months, and you had to reside there, voter ID, driver's license, the whole nine yards, okay? You had to reside in the home. Then the parent can transfer the home to the child, no problem. Stays on the Medicaid, they won't come after the house, et cetera, that's good news, right? Except that here's the thing. If you don't have that set up in advance, I don't know from the email, why is mom in the nursing home? If mom's in the nursing home because, of a dementia problem or something like that, okay, now we've got problems. Because without having a power of attorney, and most of them don't do this, it's got to be a power of attorney that specifically authorizes the gift of this home. Most powers of attorney don't. I mean, and by most, I don't mean 51%. I mean 95%. I don't know if it's over 90%. I mean, out of every 10 powers of attorney we see, if we can use one, happy day, ring the bell, because that's amazing. Most powers of attorney will not let you save the house in a situation like this where we've got a caretaker child. Okay? So, can we save the house? The answer is yes. But it had better be set up in advance. Now, if you call 888-463-2843, that's 888-463-2843, you can get your question on the air, just like Tom. Morning, Tom. Welcome to the Hi. David Carrier Show.
Well, happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day to you, if it's appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a question pertaining to nursing home care.
Sure.
If you have a situation with a husband and wife,
right?
The wife is still good, medically and so forth, and
right.
Is taking care of the husband. When the husband gets bad enough, has to go to a nursing home, but the husband has a really nice pension.
Okay.
Is there a way to protect that pension and get him on Medicaid to pay the nursing home bills, sole benefit trust, or whatever, some way to protect that pension still, or do you lose the pension?
Let's talk about that. Do you have a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Okay, make two columns. IS at the top of one, CS at the top of the other.
Okay?
IS stands for institutionalized spouse. CS stands for community spouse. IS, institutionalized spouse, that's your dad. CS, community spouse, that's your mom. Now, you write in the total amount that dad has coming in. Let's say it's $3,000. Okay? Subtract from that PA, patient allowance. That's $60 a month. He gets to keep $60 a month for haircuts and chewing gum. Okay? So now we're down to $2,940. Are you with me on that?
Right.
This is on dad's side. Then you subtract from that the medical insurance allowance. Now, this is any medical insurance that either one of them is paying. So if it's Blue Cross Blue Shield or Humana or ARP or, I don't know, whatever insurance you're paying, they're paying, you subtract that from the $2,940. Let's just say they're paying $240 a month. Now we're down to $2,700. So far, so good? Okay. That is what we call the tentative patient pay amount. But we're not done yet. Now we go over and we look at mom. Mom's got $1,000 a month coming in. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, the state has a number. The state of Michigan will calculate a number called the minimum monthly maintenance needs allowance. Say that three times fast. The minimum monthly maintenance needs, or the triple MNA, we call it, okay? The community spouse income allowance. Anyway, this is how, confusing things, triple MNA, that's how much money mom needs to get by. And it's a minimum's around $2,200, max around $2,800. Mom's got $1,000 of income coming in. Are you with me so far?
Yep.
So mom, let's say they calculate it and they decide mom needs $2,800 to get by.
Okay.
All right. Now, they subtract the $1,000 that she's actually getting from the $2,800 they think she needs. So, mom, now where does that put mom?
Well, that puts her at $1,800 then.
Yeah, $1,800 in the hole. Are you with me on that?
Right.
So
right.
The way it works now is we've got dad. He's got a patient pay amount of $2,700.
$2,700,
yeah. Yeah. And mom's in the hole, $1,800. Are we all together on that?
Yep.
Okay. Now, they're going to play a bunch of commercials and the news and everything else, and when we get back, we'll finish up that calculation. Okie doke? Okay. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for holding on. You're listening to the special Father's Day edition of the David Carrier Show. The Father's Day edition means no dads need pay today. So you do, if you're a dad, or you have a dad, or you knew a dad, or you like dads, or dads have had an influence in your life, then you don't have to pay for today's show. Pretty cool, huh? You're right. Give us a shout, 888-463-2843, to sign up for our Life Plan Workshop. You can also email me or get on over to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney.
Ordinary man.
Welcome back to the David Carrier Show, the only show on the radio where the bumper music is better than the talking. This is the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. If you have a question, comment, or concern about wills, trusts, or probate, if you're wondering, how does that Medicaid stuff work? Am I going to go broke in the nursing home? How do I care for my spouse? How do I sell my house? How do I buy a house? How do I keep my business going? How do I get the heck out of this business I never should have gotten involved in the first place? Well, now's the time for you to give us a shout at 888 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843. Get on over to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com, or drop me an email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. If we could make it easier, we would. If you have suggestions on how to do that, give us a shout. I mean, those are the ways to do it. Hey, we've got Tom from Muskegon on the line, and Tom's question is, Tom, let me see if I'm recapping this right. Dad has a substantial pension. It looks like he may need nursing home care in the foreseeable future. Question is, how much of the pension goes to Mom if Dad winds up in the nursing home? So far, so good?
Right.
Okay. And what we're the hypothetical we're using, the suggestion is Dad has about $3,000 of income, Mom has about $1,000. Now, in figuring this out, we can deduct from Dad's income a couple of things. We can deduct the patient allowance, which is $60. We can also deduct from that any medical insurance that Dad is paying on either parent, on Mom or Dad, or both. Okay, so any medical insurance you're paying, that comes off Dad's side. Now, we went through that before the break, and we wound up with Dad still has $2,700 left. Now, we go over to Mom, and we say Mom's got $1,000 of income. The state has a number. As a number for Mom called the triple MNA, the minimum monthly maintenance needs allowance. And that number is how much money the state thinks Mom needs to get by. The minimum triple MNA is around $2,200. The maximum is around $2,800. So let's say Mom maxes out. She gets $2,800. She's got $1,000 of income, which leaves Mom $1,800, $1,800 per month in the hole. Are we all together on this?
Yep, that's good.
Okay. Now, Dad get, now we have the tentative patient pay amount over on Dad's side, $2,700. They give Dad another allowance called the community spouse income allowance. Mom's the community spouse. This is an allowance for Mom's income. So we can take $1,800 from Dad's $2,700. Dad has $2,700 left. Now we can take $1,800 and give that to Mom. Now, yeah, there's a form Dad has to sign, but or his representative, but that's okay. Now, Mom gets the $1,800. Mom's fair and square. Mom's even with what the state says she needs. Dad now still has $900. That's his adjusted or actual, this is APPA, his adjusted or actual patient pay amount. That's how much has to be paid to the nursing home, $900 a month. Now, it used to be, is it? I gotta just tell you, over the years, you know, and you know, 8 years ago seems like ancient history. I mean, really, it's such a completely different landscape we're living in now than we used to be. But back in the day, if Dad had $900 and we could budget out for Mom so that Mom could use, you know, $500, $600 over and above that $2,800. All right, we could go to court, go to probate court, and they would allow, the judge would typically, if you could make a good case for it, it would typically allow you to take an additional, what we call a court-ordered amount, and that would further reduce the patient pay amount. Like I say, back in the day, it was something that, you know, I don't say it was routine, but it was an option. These days, you know, they'll fight you tooth and nail on it. They'll appeal it, and by they, I mean the Attorney General, State of Michigan. They'll contest it, they'll fight it, they'll go to the mat on it, okay? So that every step along the way, they're not, you know, they're not going to give up that money. And nowadays, it doesn't make the sense to invest it unless you've got a very compelling case. You know, you meet all the statutory requirements exactly, so that nobody can, you know, there's no other side of the issue. And I haven't run into one of those yet. You know, that's the one time when you can keep keep more than the triple MNA. But that number goes up every year. You know, it gets adjusted all the time. So, but that's how it works. Now, does Mom have additional assets? I mean, does Mom and Dad have, you know, investments and that kind of thing as well?
Actually, I'm calling for a friend, and I'm not sure what their situation is. Yeah.
Okay, because you had mentioned the I heard you mention in the initially asking the question about the solely for the benefit of trust.
Yeah, I wondered. I've seen those set up and so forth. In fact, my father had one of those, and I wondered if there was a deal like that where you could shelter that money somehow, take it and put it in a trust or something that would be able to be used later or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are two rules that have to that get involved there. There's one called the income to asset or asset to income rule, where you can shelter additional assets. You know, solely for the benefit of trust, very popular technique, very popular. It works and everything else. But there's this another technique called the asset-to-income rule. That, again, it's a federally based rule that is available. If you have excess assets, you convert those to income. And the way you do that is not by buying an annuity or something, which is, you know, what people often do, or by doing a solely for the benefit of trust. Spousal benefit trust, whatever you want to call it. There's this asset to income rule. Now, here's the thing. In many other states, again, this is a little bit inside baseball, but it sounds like you're kind of into this. In many other states, you can do what they call a Miller trust. These Miller trusts, which is not available in Michigan, okay, so don't even think about it, but in other states, and this may be where you're hearing it. So if you're looking, the reason I'm going into this is because if you see this online, or if you're one of our listeners in another state, uh-huh. Whether it's Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Utah, I think we got some people in Massachusetts too. Anyway, you know, so if you're listening in another state, this may apply to you. And that's the Miller Trust, which allows you to take, to assign to this new trust, and it's a different kind of trust, your income. And then they'll subtract that income, you know, however much it is you assign to that other trust, which sounds kind of like what you had in mind. And that's called a Miller Trust. It's not available in Michigan. Okay, you can't do it. The only way to get more than the triple MNA is to get a court ordered amount. And like I say, they're going to scrap it with you on that, you know, every step along the way.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that information. It's could be very helpful.
Thank you very much. You are more than welcome. Welcome to the David Carrier Show. This is the Father's Day edition, the special Father's Day edition of the David Carrier Show, which means that fathers do not have to pay. You know, one of the things, and only you only hear it around Father's Day, you know, is on and on about my, you know, about parents and fathers and, well, not parents, fathers in particular. And, you know, there's just a, it seems to me that there really has been sort of a, you know, sort of a devaluing. You know, I mean, you get all the social research that suggests that kids who are in a, you know, a mother and father home do so much better than kids who are not. And yet, you know, you see a lot of the, you know, the single parent things, and you see that glorified. And I just don't really don't understand that, you know, like my, you know, it's not that it's the Beaver Cleaver thing. You know what I mean? It's not every dad gets to be Ward Cleaver. My dad certainly wasn't, but he was not untypical. He was a teacher. I mean, he's retired as a teacher and in the school system anyway. And like many of his the other guys, I mean, who wanted to be teachers, you know, they came out of the war and they say, hey, I went to college and went into the school system. And they didn't make any money. I mean, they didn't pay teachers hardly anything back then. And they all worked second jobs. I mean, my dad worked two jobs. You know, he was at the school, you know, taught high school all day long and then went to the Cranston, Rhode Island, Narragansett Brewery, you know, where he bottled beer, you know, from 11 to 11 to 6. And then, you know, then came home and started it all over again. Did that for 16 years. That's a long time to be, you know, teaching school by day, bottling beer by night. And he's not unusual. A bunch of his, the other guys, I mean, it was kind of funny because at least three or four of them, they would teach school by day, and then they all had their jobs at the brewery at night. And the brewery was where the real money was, you know, for them. Eventually, they were able to, you know, the pay for teachers came up, and they were able to make it at the school. But, you know, there's a lot of guys out there who've done that kind of thing. Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. This is David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. We got Ted from Grand Rapids on the line. Good morning, Ted. Welcome to the David Carrier Show.
Hi, Dave. Hey, thanks for the call. I just want to have a quick question for you.
Sure.
I've heard a lot of financial information and a lot of things about medical, but I don't remember this ever being addressed. And I guess my question.
Oh, wait a second. You mean I don't get to reinvent the wheel again this week? I got a new question.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm so excited to talk to you, because I figured this would be something so pertinent, you know?
Okay, great.
My question is, my wife and I are in our middle, late 50s.
Okay.
We have a mortgage, a new mortgage, of about $220K, and I have about the same amount in a 401K, and I'm going to be 59 and a half about 4 years. My wife has a pension, and I'm working full-time, and she's working. And we're just kind of struggling with the bills. And I've heard so much different, my question is, I've heard so much different information. Is it, people say, never touch your 401k, never, but I'm looking at it like, you know, I don't want to threaten the house. I want to pay it off, and our life would be so much easier if we could pay off that mortgage. At what point and how do you decide when you pull off a 401k, when you get to the 59 and a half?
Well, what kind of interest rate are you paying, Ted?
I'm in a typical mutual fund of, it's all.
No, I'm sorry, I mean on the mortgage.
Oh, we just did get a HARP refi, so we're sitting good there. I guess the question is, it's just kind of a tough bill to pay every month, and we're looking at 30 years being able to make enough to just do the payment for the 30 instead of aggressively paying it off.
I think I would, you hate to be conventional around here, but I would have to go with the conventional wisdom on that, because here's what you got to think about. If you take, let's say you took all the money out in 1 year, okay? Well, now you just, you know, it's as if you were being paid 2.25% a year. So that's going to jack you into the absolute top, right? You know, you're going to be paying something like, I don't know, close to 40% on that money. So you don't have 200, let's call it 200,000 just to make the math easy. Instead of getting a check for 200,000, you're going to get a check for 120,000. So where are you? You know, now if you took it out, starting at 59 and a half, then you don't have to pay the 10% penalty tax. So you could take it out and it would just be added to your income, but you still have to pay income tax on it. And so what you need to do, what I would suggest that you do, is you look at this year's tax return and find out what the highest marginal rate you're paying. The question is, how much? See, it gets very confusing when you look at income tax rates. Because you can say, well, I had $100,000 of income and I paid $20,000 of tax, therefore I have a 20% tax rate. That isn't true. It doesn't work that way. Because the first chunk of money that you get, there's no tax on it. And then they start ramping up, you know, then it's 10%, then 15%, then 20%, then 25%, then 35%, goes on up like that, okay? So what you need to do is you need to look at what was the percentage of tax that you paid, the tax percentage, what was the percentage rate that you paid on the last dollar of income? Do you do your own taxes, Ted?
No, I have a business friend.
Oh, perfect. Then you just ask them. You say, what was my highest marginal rate? That's the question.
Okay.
Was my highest marginal rate? What? And it's how much did I pay on the last dollar that my wife and I earn, because I assume you're married filing jointly, right?
Correct.
Okay. That's the question you have to ask. And is it 20%? Is it 25%? Is it 15%? I don't know, but that's the number. It's not the average. You don't say, well, I had an average, 20% income tax rate. No, that's not it. You're looking at that last number, which is guaranteed to be much higher than the average. And that's how much you're going to lose for every dollar that you take out of your 401k or your IRA or 403b or 457 or whichever plan it is you've got. So you got to be very careful when you're taking out that tax advantaged money, because you're going to be paying, and especially you're still working, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got all that other income. Now this is going to be on top of it. Now money is choices, okay? That's what money is. It's just the ability to make certain choices. And the fact that you've got the 401k money there enables you to make a choice. It would mean, paying off or paying down this mortgage, even though if I wait till retirement, my effective tax rate is going to be 10%. I'm willing to pay 20% now to pay down the mortgage. Now, from a numbers standpoint, that probably is foolish because, you know, if you just did one of these HARP refis, you're probably paying, what, 3%, 4%?
Yeah, like 3.75%.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Call it 4%. Now you're paying 10% in tax to eliminate a 3% interest rate. You're losing. Do you see? You're paying 10% tax to save 3% interest rate.
Yeah.
So, you know, but money is choices, and you get to make that choice. You could say, look, yeah, I hear all that, but it would just feel so good to be paying this down. I'm willing to sacrifice that rate of return. Okay, I'm willing to pay this premium. I couldn't recommend that for you. Could not, absolutely could not recommend that for you. Because this 401k is protected. You get sued or what have you, that 401k money's protected. They can't take it. All right? You get in a car accident, they can come after your house. Are you with me on that?
Oh, yeah. That's a great thing to have.
You know?
Protection.
So that 401k, that's super protected money. I mean, they you might make the decision to do it, but it wouldn't be because I advise you to, because I really don't think that that's where your best interest lies. And, you know, you leave that money in there, okay, until later on you take it out when your interest rate presumably is going to be lower, and it grows tax-free. You know, here's the thing. Right now you've got it in, you said, mutual funds and whatnot.
Yeah.
So you're
designated choices at work.
Right. And eventually you'll pull it out, you'll roll it out of the 401k and put it into a self-directed IRA, and now you get the whole universe of investments open to you, okay? So you can really aggressively diversify. Well, if you take the money out and you put it in the house, okay, you just limited yourself from the whole universe, the whole world of investment options, you know, to 1313 Mockingbird Lane. Why would you want to do that?
Is it possible to look at it like by someone said that a good strategy is to wait right up until you have to make the move at 59.5 and then do it in chunks because you have a recovery ability to possibly down the road through the money you're going to make that you can pay off your house and still have a sizable amount left without totally trashing your 401k, and you can still drop your principal down to a point of manageability or eliminate it in an aggressive fashion still. So you recommend that type of program?
I do. I have no problem with you paying off the house. I have no problem with that. But you just got to look at your options. If I've got this money working over at, you know, what's the average? Still, the average return on a mutual fund is what, 12%? Okay, I could get conceivably 12% over the long haul over here versus 3% return, 4% return by paying off the mortgage. Plus, it's tax deductible, so it's even a little bit less, not much less, but a little bit less effective rate. So I would say, I mean, is that a possible strategy? Yes. Is it? Does it work for everybody? I wouldn't say so. That music, I don't want to get cut off like the last time, so we're up against the hard break. Ted, thank you very much for calling. You're listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Looking forward to seeing you at one of our free life plan workshops. Just get on over to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com, and we will see you there.